going beyond the specific of the latest case where they're showing drills and threatening people with guns. You know, periodically the United States and the American people have felt threatened, and it's happened several times during our history. And every time it happens, we take extreme measures, and then the crisis passes. Anyway, I hope you can cut that.
Yep, we'll cut it out. And okay. and periodically, why don't you start there?
Okay. Periodically, the crisis passes. And then it's like we all wake up with a hangover the next day and wonder what on earth we did while we were out of the loop, so to speak.
And oftentimes, in hindsight, these things seem, I mean, clearly Al-Qaeda is a very serious threat, but it almost, in hindsight, doesn't seem quite as terrifying as it did or does at the time.
Exactly. Every time it seems like we're in mortal peril. Our existence is at stake, and so extreme measures are justified. And it started at the very, very beginning of the Republic. I mean, at the very end of the 18th century, under John Adams, they passed the Alien and Sedition Act. They thought that we were threatened by, French revolutionaries, and so we were imprisoning editors, we were suppressing newspapers. And then that crisis passed. Jefferson was elected in 1800. He let the laws lapse, he let the editors out of jail, and he changed the requirements for citizenship, but it was a precursor. And then periodically these things have come up again. Came up in after World War One. There was a big Red Scare in the 1920s. There was even a terrorist bombing in New York at that time. People got scared. They were raiding immigrants. They were sending people out. They were suspending laws. Then in the 1950s, we had the Red Scare then. We had McCarthyism. Then after 9/11, now we're sort of waking up from that piece of hysteria. And each time, we feel mortally threatened, we do terrible things that violate the Constitution in every case. And in this instance, we were threatening people physically and kind of descending to the level of our opponents. And now we're kind of coming out of that period, and suddenly it looks like we did such awful things, and there's discussion of prosecutions for the people who did the interrogation.
And it's and we want to be clear, you're not saying that these aren't important issues, and certainly the Cold War was very important and we needed to focus on it. It's just when it reaches that sort of hysterical level where all of a sudden we feel like this is going to rip apart the fabric of the country, that's when you sort of get a little nervous.
And what always happens is we go too far. We violate our basic values and constitutional guarantees, and that's what always launches the reaction subsequently. And that's where there's always recriminations, there's finger pointing, there's potential prosecution. There are people who said they acted in good faith and under the law. They thought these things were legal, and that's what we have in this instance. And we always regret it. And very interestingly, when it comes to interrogations, there was a big difference between, for example, the FBI and the CIA on this thing. The FBI has its own methods of interrogation, had its own group of interrogators, which do not involve physical threats or anything approaching torture. And they were working on this. And one of these people, by the way, interviewed Saddam Hussein and got a lot of information out of him. The FBI, when they saw what was going on, backed away from these interrogations, and it was left to CIA contractors who weren't as restrained. And it doesn't seem, at least from the public evidence available so far, that they got that much more information from them using these different kinds of harsh interrogations. So every time we go overboard and we violate our own constitutional values and prohibitions, there's always a reaction subsequently when the crisis passes, and it becomes a very dark chapter in American history.
And these are often things that may have seemed appropriate at the time, but again, in hindsight, when we go back and think about them, they all seem a little bit out of place, don't they?
They do. And now, the 9/11 issues are somewhat different. In the first and the second Red Scares, the 1920s and the 1950s, you had this dark, subversive ideology. You didn't know who was a communist and who wasn't, and anybody could be. And there were all kinds of wild accusations against people, for what was in their minds or potentially in their minds. In 9/11, we had an actual physical attack that killed 3,000 people. We knew we had an enemy, and they were really out to wipe us out. That said, we're still now we're starting to pay the price from our the excesses that took place. And what were those excesses? They were cases where we violated our own values and our own constitutional prohibitions, particularly in the Eighth Amendment, the prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment. And every time in American history you see us going through this, there's always a lot of reaction and a lot of regret. And we tend to brush this under the rug, but it's happened more times than once, obviously.
And it also seems this even happens with legislation. And we had the Patriot Act, we had the Real ID Act, and whenever we speed these things through because they have to happen now because it's just paramount, we end up going back and saying, you know what? When we speed it through that much, we tend not to think about it as much, and then it just doesn't. There are unintended consequences that we just didn't anticipate.
Well, you speed it through because there is a crisis, and you need to deal with this directly. And frankly, I had no problem with certain aspects of the Patriot Act. I mean, it broke down laws that inhibited law enforcement from sharing information. Now, information sharing is the big mantra in Homeland Security and law enforcement, and it's a good thing, and we have fusion centers, which I consider a good thing. So it did bring about necessary reforms in terms of the Patriot Act. What we have here in terms of the interrogations are things that really violate the Geneva Conventions, the Army Field Manual, and our own traditions of prohibiting cruel and unusual punishment. But if you want to look back, you look back again to the Alien and Sedition Acts under the John Adams, our second president. They were scared that the French revolutionaries were going to subvert the United States, which sounds laughable now, but it was a real concern. And so they passed very restrictive legislation that was simply allowed to lapse subsequently. And we were never really threatened by these so-called subversives.